98.1 KZE. MK with ya. It is Pride Month, and we are lucky enough to have Beck Hook Pride right here in our backyard, combined forces from Red Hook and Rhinebeck, culminating on a big parade and festival, really, this coming Sunday. And Talise Morrill is here today as part of our Pride at Five series from Youth Reach. Talise, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to meet you, and you are doing some really important work. Do you want to tell us just a quick overview of what Youth Reach is all about?
Yeah. So Youth Reach is a new program for an organization called Access Supports for Living. So Access is all over the Hudson Valley. And the way I like to think about Access is if you're a person kind of hitting a barrier in your life to reach your goals, especially if those are around behavioral health, mental health, Access probably has a program to support you. So Youth Reach is the newest of those programs. And our focus is on suicide prevention for young folks ages 15 to 24, with a specific focus on LGBTQ youth.
Yeah, who are in particular danger, I believe, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're seeing, a considerable uptick in mental health issues, with everything going on in the world. And so that's always been the case for LGBTQ youth, as they're not affirmed in their communities. And we're definitely seeing more of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for folks out there listening, you know, I know it can be really hard because a lot of the time, you know, the things that can lead to such terrible mental health problems, especially in LGBTQ youth, are, you know, that their families are not supportive, are not accepting of them. And if somebody out there, you know, has a kid like that in their life, who is maybe not their kid, but they would like to help this kid and they see that this kid is struggling, what are some things that they can do?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. When we think about suicide prevention, I think sometimes we'll think about something that's very like a sterile hospital room. But like in reality, if you think about suicide prevention, more like having a community garden, right? Like the real work is in caring and tending to it before those things start to hurt.
Yes.
So to your point, like, what can people do? A lot of it is, you know, getting those youth opportunities to see themselves reflected and affirmed in their communities. So there are places like Youth Reach, where we have a drop-in center, or Hudson Valley LGBTQ center, or Dutchess Pride, where youth can really go and see people who look like them, who have the same lived experiences, and who can really affirm, like, who they are, and that who they are is valid and beautiful.
Yeah.
And then another big part is really like community education. So a lot of what we do through Youth Reach is community education. We both go into places and we do what's called LGBTQ 101, where we work with organizations and parents and families who maybe want to be supportive but aren't sure how. And we kind of do that sort of baseline work of like, what do the terms mean? What are the concepts? Ask us all of your uncomfortable questions.
Yeah.
and then, you know, the other part of that, not just for LGBTQ youth, but for everyone, is teaching people about mental health and destigmatizing mental health. So we do something called Youth Mental Health First Aid, where we go anywhere that has a group of adults looking to learn more, and we teach adults how to support their youth through a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do what's called Teen Mental Health First Aid. So that is where we go and we teach teenagers how to support their friends through a mental health crisis, because we know they're already doing that.
Yeah.
And just giving them those skills. So I think if there are adults who have, especially queer youth in their life, who aren't being affirmed, it's trying to find those ways to get them into spaces where they feel cared for and supported, and then also trying to find ways to gently support the families who maybe aren't being as supportive.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite things that we have in Youth Reach, and we'll have these flyers actually for anyone to take at Beck Hook Pride, is this really cool poster through this organization called Family Acceptance Project. And Family Acceptance Project's whole thing is, we know that there are families who, because of their background, their culture, their beliefs, may never be able to be fully supportive and affirming of their kid. What we also know is those people typically don't want their child to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that the research shows us that by not calling someone by their chosen name or their pronouns, or letting them express themselves the way they need to express themselves, that every time you do that, the increased likelihood of depression, of suicidal thoughts, of dangerous drug use increases significantly.
Yeah.
So Family Acceptance Project makes this really lovely poster that's, we're not asking you to change your beliefs. We're just asking you to not do these things.
Yeah.
And I think that right now, as simple as that work might be, that's actually some of the most impactful work in suicide prevention is not just meeting a parent or an adult who we disagree with and we say like, oh, well, forget that person, but trying to figure out how to meet them where they are so that they will be doing less harm to their child and the queer children in their life.
Yeah. Have you seen any kind of examples of success stories where parents or, you know, family members or just the adults in the lives of these kids have maybe not understood what, you know, kind of came into the situation not understanding, you know, their kid's identity or maybe like just fully not getting what they were going through and were able to kind of come around and see things from the other perspective?
Absolutely. I feel like there's more of those than the opposite. Maybe, you know, the opposite is so harmful that that's what we hear about. But I feel I've worked with so many families who I can think of one family in particular who, when I first started working with their young person, they reached out to me because they were like, we don't really know what to do. We're not sure about any of this. And so they kind of just asked me to start supporting their kid. And at that time, they weren't even using the right pronouns or the name that their young person was using. And over the years, just them being like, we want to try, they grew, they learned, they actually ended up becoming such allies and advocates for their kid that the sister of this young person works for a very large Christian denomination and has been part of how that denomination has really moved the sort of impact of that denomination and like encourage people to be accepting of trans folks and gender expansive folks. And I think that happens so much more often. I think as hard as it is, sometimes a young queer person coming to their family, being their fullest self, and their family maybe struggling to get there, but growing, you also see a lot of healing among the family.
Sure.
Like parents and siblings who maybe get to interrogate who they are on a deeper level and grow in their own identity.
Yeah.
Because they have that young person. So I do think a lot of families get there and they grow. And Family Acceptance Project actually has a ton of videos about exactly that. I have people in my life who you know, they started and they had parents who were not affirming of their identity at all. And now they're adults. And I have one person in particular who's like, yeah, my mom loves my partner. She just doesn't like that we're living together before we're married. It doesn't matter that we're queer. It's just that we're living together before we're married. So
that's equality right there.
Yeah. So it for sure, I think it happens more often than not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think like you said, to your point that families do not want to see their children die.
Yeah.
You know, to put it very bluntly. And it's easy to, when something works for you, when you see results, it's easy to become a strong, outspoken advocate for that thing. Mm-hmm. And I imagine with, you know, families, you know, immediately having a knee-jerk negative reaction to their kid coming out as queer or, you know, expressing a different gender identity or whatever it is, you know, coming from a place of fear that like this expression of identity, that this thing that you're telling us is going to mean that you can't have a good life. Mm-hmm. But when they see that actually like living their truth to the fullest is the thing that makes them happy, makes them their best self, you know, makes them like the person that, you know, you want your kid to be, like their happiest, most, you know, mm-hmm. self-actualized version mm-hmm. of themselves. That's when, you know, I think you'd see people start to come around and be like, oh, this is a good thing. This is a positive thing. This hurts nobody and helps, you know, the people it helps.
Exactly. I think for so many families, maybe it feels scary, but they start doing the things to affirm their kid and then they see their kid's mental health improve so significantly. And it's like, oh yeah, I was worried about what it meant for my kid to be wearing a dress, but now they're wearing a dress and they're not self-harming. Great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Where are you guys located?
So that's a great question and a little complex question. So our program serves Dutchess, Ulster, Sullivan, Orange, and Rockland County.
Cool.
So our drop-in center, which is opening in full in August, is located in Newburgh, which in the city of the Newburgh, which is great because right now there's kind of there's a lack of programming for LGBTQ young people in Newburgh. They have to go all the way to Rockland or all the way up to Dutchess. So that's where our drop-in center is, but we provide our programming anywhere that people want us. So if someone has a library or a community center or a neighborhood group, wherever, we will come and we will provide education, referrals. A big part of our programming is actually people being able to sit down with us and doing a mental health like assessment and then immediately getting connected to the services they need.
Wow.
And we will travel and do that anywhere that people want us to come do that.
That is amazing. And again, so Youth Reach, is that the name of the organization?
Youth Reach is our program, and we're part of Access Supports for Living, which is the larger organization.
Access Supports for Living. I mean, it's so, these are resources. I have the privilege of talking to a lot of people who do amazing work in, you know, mental health and community support, and I'm always blown away. I'm like, why is this not common knowledge that this help exists?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of these services are really underutilized. One of my favorite things that Access has is we actually have all over the Hudson Valley, we have mental health urgent cares. So the closest one to here is in Poughkeepsie. And this is just like a physical health urgent care, but for your mental health. So you walk in Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and you immediately get mental health support. You
Wow.
get to see a peer specialist, a clinician, a care manager. And when you walk in, you're not committing to anything, but you just have these people who sit down and help you figure out what you need next.
Yeah.
And all of this is at low or no cost. At Access, one of our big things is that money is never going to be a barrier to getting the support you need.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And people, yeah, I'm like, I want more folks to know. Kingston, Poughkeepsie, Middletown, Newburgh, we have urgent cares in all of those places that anyone can walk in for mental health support.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Talise Morrill is my guest. We were talking a little bit off mic about kind of the marathon that is Pride Month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys are going to be tabling at Beck Hook Pride this Sunday,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
And what does that look like when you guys table at an event?
Yeah, so when we table, it's really fun. Myself and a couple of my other staff have a lot of camp background, so we really bring camp energy. So if you come to our table, there are a handful of things that you can do. One is you can make friendship bracelets. We have the friendship bracelet station, which is absolutely suicide prevention because it's joy. And
yeah.
joy is kind of core to suicide prevention. So you can make a friendship bracelet with us. We also have, our team is ready to help folks make mental health safety plans. With the idea being that when you are in a mental health crisis is the worst time to then try to figure out how to care for yourself.
Mm.
So mental health safety plans, there's a paper, there's also an app, and we, if you come up to us, we'll help you walk through that and just answer questions that you kind of already know. Who do you reach out to for support when you're having a crisis? What are your internal coping strategies? But you write them down so that when you are in a crisis and your brain is not interested in having difficult, complex thoughts,
mm-hmm.
You can pull out that safety plan and you can work through and be like, oh, right, this is what I said I would do to care for myself.
That's really smart.
Yeah, so we have that. And then if you fill out a mental health safety plan, you get to pick out a worry stone. So that's kind of a fun exchange that we have at our table.
I need a worry stone.
Worry stones are very important. I always keep one on me. So
yeah, keep that thing on me.
Yeah.
And I also want to go back to something you just said about, you know, making friendship bracelets is joy, and joy is suicide prevention. And that's the point of Pride, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the point of Pride is joy.
Yeah.
The point of Pride is, you know, improved mental health and,
yeah.
and shining a light on just the joy that is the LGBTQ community. And, you know, kind of, you know, you were also talking a little bit about, you know, your organization is working to remove the stigma from mental
mm-hmm.
health. And I think Pride is working to remove, you know, any remaining stigma that it's a shame that there still is any, but, you know, to kind of just like, hey, we're throwing a big party. Everybody come down and see what it's all about. It's
yeah.
fun. It's inclusive. It's utterly harmless.
Mm-hmm. I think one of my staff, I would say one of our favorite thing that we see at Prides when we table at other events, you know, many of the people on our staff are queer, and many of us are very visibly queer. And there's just this joy of like watching someone walk into a room and see you and like light up because they're seeing something that maybe is a future that they dreamed of or a reflection of themselves that they haven't possibly ever seen before.
Yeah.
And so like at Pride to just walk around and be like, oh, there are so many possibilities of me getting to flourish and be my fullest self it's so powerful, and it's absolutely suicide prevention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Talise, once again, what is the website and any socials that we should know about to connect with Access?
Yeah. So Access, our website is accesssupports.org. Right now you can't find Youth Reach info on it because it is just being revamped, I believe. But Access Supports for Living on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. And then you can email info@asfl.org. And if you ask about Youth Reach, that'll get sent right to me. And we can for sure be in touch. And in August, when we open in full, we'll have our calendar of all the different things we're having. We'll have parent support groups. We'll have therapeutic groups. We'll have craft night. We'll have movie night, all sorts of things like that. So
Very cool. Yeah. Beck Hook Pride takes place this Sunday. There's a parade. There's a website. I forget the time of the kickoff of the parade, but
I wrote it down.
Oh, you're so good.
The parade starts at 10. I think people are lining up at 9, but yeah, at the high school at 10 a.m.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then just a big party in the over by the county building over there.
Yeah, the municipal lot.
Yeah. The municipal lot. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, and there are all these workshops that are happening. They look amazing. I'm a little bummed I can't go to them, but there's like
you'll be stuck
sewing
at your table.
Workshops. Yeah. But I'll just like maybe stand nearby and listen for all the things that they're doing.
We chatted last week with Colin Stark from Stark Blooms. There's going to be flower crown making.
Yes.
And like, yeah, it just sounds incredible.
Maybe I can just get someone to make me a flower crown.
I'm sure somebody will do that.
Absolutely.
So you've helped me pick out a song today, which I am so happy that I now know about. You want to give us a little setup on this one?
Yeah. So Elton John and Brandi Carlile recently put an album out together, and this song is called Swing for the Fences. And Brandi has described this as the anthem they wrote specifically for queer youth. So it's just a very joyful song.
Pretty damn good.